Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for another opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Can I say, anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Lord, as always, when we come here, we know that you are here already, because you said two or three in my name, I'm in their midst. And Lord, we thank you. And let your word be revealed to our hearts this morning. Show us, O Lord, what you want of us, and we glorify you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Everybody say,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to encourage everybody to listen really well to this message. You know, every time we have this consecration service, of course, generally every time, you know, that I preach, I wait on the Lord and so forth for what he wants. But I pay a little more attention, you know, during the consecration, because I'm waiting in the presence of the Lord, and I know, you know, God wants to really do something for his people and so on. So the message this morning is dwelling and living in God's presence. Amen.
Amen.
So that's what we're going to talk about today, is dwelling in God's presence. But before I get to that, let me read the scripture here in Jeremiah chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. Now remember, this is our consecration service. So you pay attention to what the Lord is saying here. My people have committed two evils. Jeremiah 2 and 13. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And instead, what do? They've hewed to themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can't even give them living waters, you know, that can hold no water at all, he said. So, I mean, take a look at that picture. The Lord, he describes himself as a fountain of living waters, you know. But the people, instead of, you know, taking all they can from that fountain of living waters, they leave him, they leave his presence, and then they go do something else, you know, which cannot even bring any water at all to their lives. You know, so the Lord said, well, there are two evils there. First, you forsake the Lord, who is the fountain of living water, that's the source of all life. And then you go look for something else, or you think whatever else is going to be a substitute for the Lord. The Lord said, that's an evil before me. You know, so, you know, that's like an admonition that leads to this message. And the message is dwelling in God's presence. Psalm 90 and verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Can you say praise the Lord? God is our dwelling place. And in all generations, you know, that's the way that the elect of God declare it. Now in Psalm 91 verse 1, we read, you know, and I want to say that this is one of the best kept secrets since the world began. Dwelling in God's presence. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Can I get somebody to say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, I say it's the best kept secret. You know, what is the secret place of the Most High? You know, I'm going to go back to Genesis. And I'm going to show something in the book of Genesis here that the Lord wants us to learn. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 7, we read how God formed the man from the dust of the earth. But God then did something very unique. Here's what he says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the earth, the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living soul. Now, he was dust, he was nothing, until the breath of life came into him. Now, the breath of life that God put into that man made him a living soul. Now, I want to say something to us here. That the most tragic loss, from the fall, as a result of the fall of man. What is it? Being driven from the presence of the Lord. Now, God actually calls that death. Listen to what he says in the book, in the same book of Genesis 2. Here's what he told them in verse 17. He gave him a commandment. He said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's what God said. Of course, we know the story. They disobeyed the Lord. And let's see how they died. How did they really die? Well, when they disobeyed the Lord, it didn't look like they died at all. Because we don't see anything happening. I mean, they, you know, but they lived for many, many years. You know, some people have said, well, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And nobody actually lived up to 1,000 years. You know, so they did actually die physically in that day. But I, you know, I want to show you that it's a lot more than that. Here is what actually happened. You have to go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man, you know, has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life. Remember, I am the fountain of living waters. Because we don't want this man now to put forth his hand to the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent forth the man out of the garden. He banished him from the presence of the Lord. I dare say, folks, that was the greatest and most tragic loss of the human race, was to be banished from the presence of the Lord. The Lord sent him out. You know, and then what did he do to make sure that he would not get to that tree of life? He put cherubims with a flaming sword to guard the way of the Garden of Eden and said, you will not go near. And that is the real death, folks. Because God said you will die. See? And they thought, well, we didn't really die. So what's happening here? Because the devil told them, you will not die. You know? And so, but they didn't really die. You know, so he said, well, you, well, we didn't really die and so forth like that, but they died. Because death is to be separated from the presence of God. Amen. That is death. Now, when you are in his presence, now this message, you know, hopefully I won't take too long, but it may get a little deep, so you have to pay attention. In order for you to really live and have the life, Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
And we are told in the book of the Gospel of John chapter 1, that Jesus is the light that lightens every man that comes into the world. Just like God breathed into that man his breath and he became a living soul, you know, when God drove him from the presence, folks, the Spirit of God departed from them and they died. Spiritual death. See? And from that day until now, death has been walking in the generations from the first Adam until now. But God broke that cycle somewhere. When Jesus came upon the scene, hallelujah, he broke that cycle. How did he break it? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. He said, Jesus Christ has abolished death. Hallelujah. And he has brought back life and immortality to life, you know, because of the good news of his coming. Through the gospel. Now, you say, well, what is all that really? Let me explain something to us about this man. I remember this message about dwelling in his presence. Now, if God allows me, I'll preach part two of this message later, which is something else. But today, dwelling in his presence. Now, let's read Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. This scripture says, "For in him we live." Hallelujah. "In him we move. And in him we have our being." Now that is the real dwelling place that we should have. You know, now, if you're not living in God, and you are not dwelling in God, and you are away from his presence, you are dead. Wherefore he saith, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." Hallelujah. "And Christ shall give you light." Praise the Lord. Now, if we have wandered from the fountain of living waters, or we have wandered from, you know, the presence of the Lord, then folks, we may be carrying on, you know, we may be carrying on, but we're really dead. That's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. He says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." Wow. And then God, Christ, will give you light. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let's see, you know, how do we really live in his presence? Well, Adam would have learned how to do it. God started to teach him because, you know, God, you know, the Garden of Eden was really full of the presence of God. But then in the evenings, you know, God will come down physically, manifest himself, even though his presence was there all the time, but he would manifest himself and have fellowship, you know, with Adam and so forth, you know. But when they lost all of that, when they disobeyed God, you know, they lost all that, you know. So when Christ came, he showed us how to be a man and also be in God fully at the same time. Because Jesus, one time in the book of John chapter 14, this same John 14 that we referred to earlier, Philip asked him a question, said, "Look, you've been telling us about the Father and so on. Why don't you just show us to him and then, you know, we'll understand. You know, I mean, you tell us the Father and all about, you know, the Father and all this all the time." So here's what he says to Philip in verse 9. "Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet you have not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" Well, gee, how can you really be? Well, that's what it really means to dwell in God, to dwell in his presence. Jesus was showing us how. You know, you can be here, you can be in the Lord, and the Lord can be in you, and you can have communion, and you can walk lockstep with God. Now, there was one man that figured it out. I don't know how he figured it out, because we don't know very much about him in the Bible. His name is Enoch. He figured it out. I don't know how. But he figured out how to stay in God's presence, not just go in and out. See, some of us come into his presence singing hallelujah, singing hallelujah, singing hallelujah, singing hallelujah. Well, that's wonderful. That's, you come into his presence when you come to church and so forth. But I'm not talking about coming into his presence. I'm talking about living in his presence. I'm not talking about going in and out of his presence. I'm talking about being in his presence 24/7. Now, is that really possible? That's what this message is all about. See, how that we can be in his presence. And I'm going to show you how that some people did it in the Bible. First, we know that Enoch did it. We don't know very much how he did it, but we know he did it. And he walked lockstep with God. The Bible says he walked with God. He couldn't be separated because he was in his presence. Hallelujah. And when you are in his presence, if you live in that presence like Enoch did, and you are 100% in his presence all the time, we don't know how exactly he found out how to do it, but he did it. And if you can do that, God will take you. Amen.
Amen.
Such a person cannot die because there is no death in his presence.
Amen.
Folks, there is no death in his presence.
Amen.
In the book of Psalm 16 and verse 11, the psalmist said, "Thou will show me the path of life." You're going to show me, you're going to help me to understand how that I can stay in life. In his presence, he connected that life to his presence. In his presence, hallelujah.
Amen.
His fullness of joy. That's the only part that people quote when they quote that verse. They only quote in his presence, fullness of joy. But I tell you what, the first thing he said in that verse is, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." The life is in his presence. Outside of his presence, it is like going after broken cisterns that can hold no water. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now Jesus was always in the presence of God. In fact, he said, you know, "If you don't believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, you will die in your sins." And do you know, folks, that this Jesus, same Jesus, here is a declaration that he made in John chapter 4 and verse 23. "Now I will tell you by the grace of God a revelation that you need to learn about this verse, which we read and have read many times." John 4 and verse 23. "The hour cometh," Jesus said, "and now is," he's talking to the woman at the well, "when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him."
Amen.
Now God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Folks, that is being in his presence. That's not coming to worship service. That is living in his presence. Can you say amen? That's beyond coming to the worship service. That's beyond, look, it's Sunday service, I go to church. Or it's time to pray in your house, you wake up at 3. That's wonderful. That's all part of the essence of it. But this is talking about living. The essence of life is in God's presence.
Amen.
You cannot, if you forsake the fountain of living waters that brings life, and you don't stay in his presence, all you have are broken cisterns, folks. They cannot supply any water. That's why people die. Because they are not in his presence. They're not conscious. You say, "What about all those?" Forget about all that. This is the message of the Lord today.
Amen.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus, you know, I'm going to show you something here from the scriptures. Then we'll go back and read some things, you know, and so forth. But how many of you know that Jesus being in his presence, being in God's presence, all day and every day, there was something unique that happened in his life? You know, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, "The fullness of the Godhead was upon him bodily." Now, Jesus didn't go in and out of the presence of God. He was united. He said in John 10 and verse 30, and that's why they killed him finally. He said, "My Father and I are one." Because he was united. Folks, when you can be so united, you say, "Well, Jesus was the only person that was that united." No, Enoch was that united. And he was translated. How many of you can say praise the Lord?
Praise
the Lord. I dare say that anybody that is united like that with the presence of the Lord cannot be conquered by death. In fact, death can't touch him because there is no death in his presence, folks. There is no death in the presence of the Lord. You see, the reason they died was because God drove them out of his presence. And he put a cherubim with a flaming sword that said, "They will not come and touch this tree of life. They are done. I'm done with them." That is death, folks, to be away from the presence of God. That's why death has been walking in all the generations. Because they've lost that real glorified presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, this thing that we're saying about Jesus, what was it that happened to Jesus? What happened? You say, well, if Jesus was really in the presence all that time, and you said that he cannot die, you know, you can't die if you are in his presence and so forth. Well, yeah, sure. You know, well, then why then did Jesus die? Well, because the presence left him for a minute. You say, did he? Absolutely. Here in the book of Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This presence of the Lord had to leave Jesus in order for him to die. If he had stayed in that presence, there was no way that he could die, folks. It was just impossible. Hallelujah. And this is the thing that Jesus dreaded. Some people thought that he was dreading, you know, the, you know, physical death. And so. No! This is what Jesus dreaded. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup depart from me. I cannot be separated from you for even a minute. Let this cup depart from me, but nevertheless, let your will be done. This was what Jesus dreaded, folks. He knew it was coming. He knew there was a time that he would be separated from that presence because he had to taste death for every man. And the only way for him to die, he had to be separated from that presence. And even the heavens revolted. The Bible says in verse 46, 45 of the same chapter 27, you know, there was darkness over the face of the earth. Even the graves opened up. Everything revolted. This cannot be. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. I mean, everything just revolted. It cannot be. But God wanted it that way. Momentarily. In fact, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You know, because he was separated. He had to be separated in order for him to become sin. Because, you know, folks, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the message that we have heard from him from the beginning. That God is the light. And in him is no darkness at all. Sin equates to darkness and equates to death. That cannot be part of God. Hallelujah. For Jesus to be made sin on our behalf, he had to be separated from God for a minute. How many of you understand that? Now, if he had stayed in that presence all the time, there's no way he could have died, folks. But when he came back from that grave, he returned to that presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, in fact, he said, look, don't touch me. You know, the first lady that came up there and so forth like that, you know. And then he said, look, I got to do something, you know. And then when he changed, now, you know, forever, he's reunited with that eternal presence. Never to be separated again. Because he did it one time for everybody. And that's it. And there's no more need for sacrifice. There's no more need for anybody to kill any goat, do any penance, and all of these things and so forth. You know, all you have to do is come into his presence. Hallelujah. Give not just your heart. I don't know what people even really mean. I give my heart to Christ. I don't know. I don't know what it means. What God wants is every part of your being. Amen. Because it is his breath that made him a living soul. You know, when God wants all of you. Not just whatever. You know, when you come into Christ, because of the generations of sin walking since Adam, we must confess our sin because that's the sin nature. But if any man be in Christ now, folks, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17. He is a new creature, folks. He is a new... God has to create him again. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, unless you don't understand that, you know, that God has to really create him again. Let me read it to you in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. In this book, God would show Jeremiah or teach him a lesson. And he told Jeremiah, he said, go down to the potter's house. I'm going to show you something. So he went down, he saw the potter and so forth, making clay and all of that, you know, and so on. Now listen to this. Verse 3 of Jeremiah 18. And I went down to the potter's house. And I beheld as he walked a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. That means it was messed up in the hand of the potter. And he made it again. Hallelujah. He made it again. Another vessel. Even as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Hallelujah. This is called a Holy Ghost makeover. Amen. God has to make you over. And when you are made over, he says you are a new creature, folks. This is not just for older folks. You young children, listen to me. This is the reason why when I'm preaching, I don't like children being in the hallway and so forth. I want them to sit down and listen to this. Because if you think that because you are a child or you are a young person, you're just following your parents to church, well, if your parents hearken to this message and they are living in the presence of the Lord and you don't hearken, you may wake up one day and the rapture takes place and find out that they are not here. Because God has no grandchildren, folks.
Amen.
You cannot qualify with God based on your parents. Each one of you young folks, listen here. You like to cut up, you like to do all of these things and so forth. You don't like to pay attention to God and so forth. This message is for you just as well. Unless you learn how to be in God and God be in you, you are no part of him. You just follow your parents to church or whatever it is. So everybody needs to understand that God has a work of making over. And once you are made over, then you are a new creature. Amen.
Amen.
And you should not go back to those old things. Why? Because out of the holy city are dogs. You know what dogs are? Why do you think you talk about dogs and not cats? Or any other animal for that reason? Because dogs represent going back to his vomit. So people that are once enlightened, that are new about God and so forth like that, but they go back, they are dogs, said the Lord. And they will have no part in the holy city. That's the truth. You know, so how do we live in his presence? Well, first, you must desire to live in his presence. Hallelujah. Listen to this in the book of Psalms 71 and verse 3. Psalm 71 and verse 3. And I will read some other things that the psalmist said. He had an understanding, you know, about it. He didn't quite achieve it fully, but he had an understanding about it, and he wanted it. He didn't quite achieve it for some reasons. You know, Psalm 71 and verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation. Habitation is dwelling place. Now, God is more than a refuge. Amen, folks. A refuge is something you run to when you have trouble. For many people, God is just a refuge. We run to God. God is my refuge and he's my rock and he's my fortress. And he will be. Praise the Lord. But God wants to be your habitation. You know, he's already a mighty fortress. You don't need to go out and then come back when you have trouble. If you are always coming back to God as your refuge, that's because you already left. But Jesus said, to him that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in my church. And he shall not go out anymore. There's no going back and forth from the presence of the Lord. You will be in his presence. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, you say, who can then do these things? Well, Jesus said, with man it is impossible. But not with God. For with God all things are possible. Praise ye the Lord. Lord, be my habitation. Hallelujah. Be my habitation. You know, when something unique happens, And by the grace of God, I will preach the second part of this message sometime. When something unique happens, and the second part of this message is going to be God's dwelling place. You know, when God's dwelling place and our dwelling place become the same, something unique will happen. You know, it'll be like Enoch. He walked with God. And my goodness, when he was on, and why do you think that God allowed him to live exactly 365 years, which is significant to our turning of the years right now, you know, and so forth like that, you know? But that's a different message. I can't go into that this morning. But when something, when these two things unite, listen to how Jesus put it. Turn to John chapter 15. Jesus was talking about him being, himself being the vine and we being the branches. And he said, look, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. Now, so these two things must come together. God's dwelling place, God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. Amen, folks? Amen, folks?
Amen.
God, he said, Isaiah 66, the first couple of verses, he said, look, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. But where is my dwelling place? You know, God is still looking for that dwelling place. Heaven! He talked about his throne. Why you say throne? That, well, that's his throne. You know, and he put his feet upon it. But where is his dwelling place? Where is the house that you built for me? Where is the dwelling place? In the place where I choose to put my name there. All of those things that he said in the Old Testament was pointing to something. And you hear about this next time. But when these two things unite, I in you and you in me, then you shall bear the kind of fruit that the Father is looking for.
Amen.
How many of you can say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Herein will my Father be glorified, that you bear the real fruit. If you can bear any fruit you want, but if that's not what the Father wants, then it's useless to him. There is a certain fruit that he's looking for. And if you bear the wrong fruit, then it's no use to him. Or if you don't bear any fruit at all, you know, amen. Like that fig tree on which Jesus found no fruit was no use for him. So he said, you're done. Hallelujah. Now, I am the vine. Verse 5 of John 15. And ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. See, he says it over and over again. You know, you say, well, I have Jesus living in my heart. What exactly does that mean? Did you put him inside your heart? I don't know what it means, but let me tell you what it means. You know, it's not just your heart, folks. It means you are submerged in his presence, is what he's looking for. Now, the heart, of course, is a place where the, you know, the desire, the soul is where the passion and the desire. When he's talking of heart, he's really talking about soul. You know, that's where the desire, that's where the emotions, that's where the passion, that's where it is for, and so on. You know, so when you love the Lord with all your heart and so forth, that's all your being. That's the essence of who you are. You know, when he abides in you and you abide in him, oh my, there's an explosion that happens. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, most people, I don't know, you know, maybe for most people, only one part of this or half of it or none of it is true. But if you can get these two things true all the time in your life, you will go like Enoch did. Praise ye the name of the Lord. There is no need for anybody to die again. Jesus already tasted death for every man. It's done. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The reason people die anymore is because they cannot stay in the presence of the Lord. And if you can learn, and we'll be teaching more in subsequent days and weeks and so forth to come. If you can learn how to stay and walk and live and dwell in his presence, you will find out that you can walk lockstep with God. The voice of God will not be strange to you because he's already with you. And you already. Jesus said it in John 8 and 29. He said, look, I'm not alone. Amen. Because my Father is with me all the time.
Amen.
Why? Because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. The Father is always with you. There is no separation. You know, if you do the things that are pleasing always to him, you don't need to pray that God should be with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He will already be with you. So all this prayer, God be with me, the prayer that you should be praying is, God, make me to submit to the Holy Spirit. Make me to do thy will, O God. Don't worry about God be with you. He is with you if you do always those things that are pleasant in his sight. If you live in his presence, he is with you already. Let's listen to how it works. See? Listen to how it works. He goes back to... I'm going to go back to Psalm 91 and show you how it works. You know? But before I do that, let me read one more verse to you here in John chapter 14 and verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, not some of the time. Amen, folks? Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John 8:51. If a man keep my saying all the time, and as you add, live in his presence. Because if you keep his saying, you'll be living in his presence, he shall never taste death. Amen. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Well, he said here in John 14 and 23, he said, look, if a man love me and he keep my words, my Father will love him. Amen. And we will come unto him and we will make our abode with him. You know, when you can be in his presence and he can come and live in you, my goodness. When those two things happen, you are headed straight for the heaven. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Some people say, I want to go to heaven. Look. You are not even on the paths of righteousness. How are you going to make it to the gates of heaven? The paths of righteousness, that's what leads to heaven. Amen. He said, you say, the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord, in Jeremiah chapter 7. You know, but yet you go and commit all these abominations and you leave the fountain of living waters. Go out and do something else. And then you say, we are going to heaven. Well, folks, that's an impossible dream. That's not going to happen. Get back into the presence of the Lord, saith the Lord. Amen. And that was a prophecy given here this morning. Well, I didn't tell my wife what I was going to preach. She never knows what I'm going to preach. I'm telling anybody, it's between me and the Lord. Amen. But the Spirit of God began to move on her, and she came out and prophesied and said, you must enter into the holies of holies. And I said, wow, that will fit right here with the message of the Lord today. Well, you know, God doesn't want you to enter and come out. Amen? Amen. He wants you to stay in there. The fire shall be perpetually burning. Amen. You know, everything that he did in the Old Testament was a shadow, but most of the time the commandments were perpetual. This will be a memorial throughout all your generations. It will be a perpetual thing. God doesn't want in and out. In fact, he told the priest, he said, do not take off the garment. Let it be on you perpetually. Hallelujah. A royal priesthood. In 1 Peter 2 and 9. Not a priesthood that goes in and out. Hallelujah. Praise God. You will notice also that this new priesthood in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, they are not called to come and make offering for sin. That's not what they are called for. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. He said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and an holy nation, a peculiar people. See, this priesthood is called not to be offering things for sin. That's not this one. These ones are called to show forth his praises. Hallelujah. They are no longer walking in the dark. God has taken them from darkness. You see, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? And they are not going back in and out from light to darkness, light to darkness. No, they've left darkness alone. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. You know, if we say we are in the light, then let us better walk in the light. Amen. As he is in the light. You know, and let's not go in and out and so forth. Stay in his presence. Let me go back to Psalms 91 and see how David, he desired to stay in the presence of the Lord. He wanted it. You know, of course, sometimes he got in there and he got a glimpse, but he didn't really stay, you know. And he couldn't live in that presence, you know, for whatever reason. You know, in fact, you know, one time the Lord said, he's a bloody man. You know, too many killings and too many things. You're not even going to build me a house. I'll let your son do that and so on. So he really, you know, he did everything he could, you know. But the Lord was gracious. The Lord had a place for him. So that some of us may have hope. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place. This is the best kept secret, folks. Since the world began, this has been a secret. In fact, they were forbidden to come near the tree of life by cherubims that carried the flaming sword. And God had kept his secret, you know. But these days, hallelujah, to worthy inquirers and loving seekers, God is revealing fresh and new things. How they can go in into the place where it was forbidden. It was forbidden for David. He understood this. It was forbidden for David to go into the veil and eat of the showbread. Jesus even said it himself in Mark chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 12. Have you not read? When Jesus did some things on, because the people of his days, they were always following the law to the letter. Well, on the Sabbath day, you know, all you can do is maybe go to the temple or do whatever. You can't even go through the field and do this and do that. You know, so Jesus, he saw some people he wanted to heal on Sabbath day, and they were all looking, all right, let's see if he's going to really heal somebody on the Sabbath day now. Because you're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath day. Can't heal anybody on Sabbath day. You know, so Jesus looked upon them and he said, wow, the wickedness of your hearts. If your donkey falls into the pit on a Sabbath day, you will not wait until the next day. You will go and pull that donkey out. How about these people who were created in God's image? Yeah. That they have been bound all these years. Should they not be loosed on this Sabbath day? And they wouldn't be able to say anything. Because they were looking and he said, have you never read? See, that which David did in the days of Abiathar the priest. How David went into the house of God and took of the forbidden bread. See? Something that was reserved only for certain people. Praise ye the Lord. Well, there is no such thing anymore, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. The veil, the temple, you know, the veil in the temple was rent when Jesus died on that cross, signifying that God has now made a new and living way for us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Praise ye the Lord. So if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you will abide. Now that's constant dwelling. You will be constantly under, you would need to pray that the Lord should protect you. If you are already in a, but what is the secret place of the Most High? That's the best kept secret, folks. Amen. Is how you can be united in a life of worship. That's what God is looking for. Worshippers. It's a way of life, folks. We preached that message a year or so ago. You have to check it on the internet. Worship is a way of life. Not just when you stand up to sing in church. Praise God. Here's what will happen if you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You know, of course he will be your refuge. And of course he will be your fortress. And all these blessings that are in Psalm 91 will be yours. But listen to verse 9. This is the revelation that goes right with my message here. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. When you make the Lord your dwelling place, that's why no evil can come near your dwelling. Most people claim no evil can come, but still, thieves will come to your dwelling. Somebody will still throw stone on your window and do all of these things. You know, stuff may still happen to you in your life. You know, and so on. But when you make the Lord your habitation, you are living inside of the Lord. Hallelujah. There is no evil that can come near your dwelling because your dwelling is the Most High God. How many of you understand that message? That's right. Because you have made the Most High your habitation, there shall no evil befall you. You have to read verses 9 before you read verse 10. When you make the Lord your Most High, the Most High your habitation, then no evil shall befall you. Neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Because plague cannot come near the Lord. And if you are inside, wrapped up inside of the Lord, no plague can come near your dwelling. How many of you can give the Lord a hand clap for that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, a vital part of this message will be continued next time. But I want to wrap this up by telling you this. Here is a summary of the things that we have spoken. Amen. There are some writers in the Bible that used to do that, like in Hebrews chapter 8. Here is a summary of all the things we have spoken. Now, here is a summary of the things that I have spoken. That the most tragic loss for mankind, because of the fall, was to be driven from the presence of the Lord. That's the most tragic loss. To be forbidden from the tree of life. And God called it death. He said, that's death. They die. They don't have, they're dead. They can't have that tree of life anymore. So that's the real death. And when Jesus came around and turned that around and showed us how to do it, he showed us that you can be a man and you can have the fullness of God dwelling in you. Well, Jesus, as far as we know, even Enoch, we are not told that he had the fullness of God dwelling in him. But he found a way to be lockstep with that light. And he was gone in that light. But Jesus, the fullness, hallelujah, of the Godhead, in Hebrews chapter 1, the brightness of his image. Oh my. The express image of his person. Brightness of his glory. Everything was inside of him. So one day, he took them in Matthew 17 to what people call Mount Transfiguration. And he showed them what was couched inside of him. Hallelujah. That was the eternal light, folks. John said, we've handled it. We've tasted it. We've touched it. And we even were with him in the mount. We saw the glory. Hallelujah. And he showed them. He brought the law and the prophets together. But the grace of God in Jesus Christ outshone both the law and the prophets. How many of you can say amen? Amen. That's right. Moses and Elijah were there to represent the law and the prophets. But Jesus said, well, all of that must come to a head. Now, here is the Son of God. And he finished the work. He outshone the law and the prophets. And he said, this is how you do it, folks. And he said, well, don't tell any man. They didn't understand any of it. And most people, till now, they don't understand it. But now we are understanding it. Amen. Amen. That's right. We are understanding it, that light that dwelt in Jesus is what he wanted us to be and have. And when we have that light in us, and we are in him, and it's all wrapped up together, then we are headed for glory. Amen. Then the Bible can truly say, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. And I would even say, not only is the glory of God risen upon you, the glory of the Lord is emanating from inside of you. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not even talking about the glory coming upon you. I'm talking of the glory of God emanating from inside of you. And you're going to hear that in the second part of this message. Where is God's dwelling place? Today, we're hearing about our dwelling place. And Moses sang this song. And I want you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet, everybody. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's clap for the Lord. You can be more excited about that. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Moses sang this message, this song, in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare for him a dwelling place. I will make him an habitation. So we're going to hear about that next time, by the grace of God. But today, you know, thou will be my strong habitation. Psalms 71 and verse 3. Psalm 24, you know, I mean Psalm 27, I mean, he says, you know, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house. See, that's what they called it in those days. You know, even the prophets of those days, they said, well, in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be, and so forth like that. You know, they were always referring to it as the house of the Lord. Well, that's all they knew. Today, it is called the presence of the living God. Amen. Amen. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, in Psalm 27, that I may dwell in the presence of the Lord. All the days of my life, not to go in and out, but to be lockstep with Him in His presence. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And Lord, we pray an understanding for your people here this morning. And folks, if you ever get a glimpse of that presence, you know, even before you are able to fully dwell in there, if God will reveal it to you, you will fall down on your face like Isaiah did in chapter 6 and said, I am a man of unclean. I don't belong. Praise the Lord. That presence of the Lord will make you feel like you are nothing. That's why even the 24 elders, when they were in his presence, they cast down their thrones. They cast down their crowns. They said, we are nothing. Yeah. Hallelujah. All our achievements, they are nothing in his presence. When you are in that presence, you're not even thinking about worldly things. Sure, we have to do these things and so forth like that. You know, hey, Jesus, you know, he had to do these things. You know, he walked and so forth. Enoch had to do these things. You know, after many, many hundreds of years, he still raised kids. He had kids and he did those things and still walked with God. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. I want every hand lifted in this place. Now, you young folks, I spoke to you in this message. You elderly folks, I spoke to you in this message. And you women, and you men, I spoke to you in this message. And God spoke to all of us in this message. Now, so if you're here this morning, and this is our consecration service, folks, and what a better time to consecrate your life into the presence of God. Now, don't think of his presence as something that you enter when you go to church. You cannot be in his presence if you are busy backbiting, if you are busy as a talebearer, and if you are busy, you know, doing all these other things, disobeying your parents, and all these other things that are contrary to the word of God. You cannot be in his presence. If ye abide in me, and I in you, and my words abide in you, you are living, the very word of God is part of your life, your very essence. You cannot do anything otherwise than the word of God. If you are ready this morning to say, Lord, I want to consecrate myself. I want to consecrate myself. Show me, Lord, how that I may dwell in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you are ready this morning, if that is you, I want you to join me on this altar, and I'll be the first person here. And I'm going to kneel before the presence of the Lord here. And if that's you this morning, and you say, Lord, I want you to show me how to dwell in your presence, not to go in and out, I want you to join me right here in this altar, and let all of us bow down before the Lord and worship. Let's ask the Lord to take over our lives. Let's surrender everything to him. And let's say, Lord, show me how to dwell constantly in your presence. And I believe that God answers prayers. Jesus said himself, if you parents by nature who are evil know how to give good things to your children, when they ask bread, you won't give them stone. How much more God, when you are asking of the very essence of the Lord, when you are asking that you may return to the presence of the Lord from which Adam was driven, and that you may be able to dwell in that presence, how much more shall your heavenly Father grant this request? But when you pray, you must believe. Let us pray. I want everybody, pray for yourself, folks. This is something that you have to do for yourself. I cannot do it for you. I cannot consecrate your life for you. Your mother cannot consecrate your life for you. Your husband or your wife cannot consecrate your life for you. They can teach you, they can help you the best they can, but you must consecrate yourself into the light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, make me over again as it pleases you, Lord. Hallelujah. Behold, saith the Lord, my people have committed two great evils. They have departed from me, the fountain of living waters. They have departed from me, the place of life. They have departed from me, the airy essence of life. And then they have turned aside and tried to accomplish it by their own righteousness. Look, they have to broken systems that cannot bring them any life. Come unto me quickly, saith the Lord. Return unto me. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And as it is written, Hosea the prophet, he said, come now, let us return unto the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help every one of us as we return unto you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, even those who have not known this way, there is a path which no fowl knoweth. There's a secret place which most people haven't known of how to walk and dwell with you in that secret place. Show us the way, Lord. Show us the way, Lord. Show us the way, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want you to sing, I Surrender All, with me to the Lord.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live.
I surrender.
I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. All to Thee, my blessed Savior.
We're going to sing that first verse again. And listen, that part, there's a part of that song that says, in His presence to daily live. And how do you do it? By surrendering all to Him.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely live.
I will ever
love and trust Him in His presence daily.
I surrender.
I surrender to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender, Lord. To thee, blessed Savior, I surrender all.
And the Lord, he has no pleasure in fools. A fool is somebody that comes into the presence of the Lord like this and say, Lord, I will surrender, but then we're not even ready to do it. Therefore, pray that the Lord will help you to give you the grace. The disciples said, who can do this then? And Jesus said, you cannot do it of yourself, but with God, it is possible. All things are possible. Lord, I pray for grace for every one of us here today. Grace, O Lord. Grace, he said. I will bring forth the great headstone with shoutings of grace and grace. Lord, grant us the grace, every one of us, to surrender our lives so that in your presence we may daily live. We thank you and we praise your name in Jesus' name. And everybody say,
amen.
Give your Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah.